In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Someone asked me today, is the Lord still on the throne? Oh, he has not abdicated the throne. The Lord is on the throne. He hears and answers prayer. And as long as your faith in him, Jesus is Lord, it's going to come out all right. If you have faith to believe that it's going to come out all right. Why? Because the Lord has promised. If you remain in me and I remain in you and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done to you. Well, we ask, Lord, for the Holy Spirit on this broadcast, that the Spirit of God would come in power and anointing and power and anointing and more power and more anointing. I'm reading from Mark 10, verse 17. It was the gospel that we read yesterday. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Let me tell you this. Why did he say that? Though he was in the form of God, he did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and becoming humble still, become obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So we see that Jesus did not count himself equal to the Father, though he is. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." I love the next line. Verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, the rich young man, and loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. You know, I think once Jesus looks at you with love, you're never going to forget that. Once you've had an experience with Jesus, you're never going to forget that. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us he came back, but I think he came back. Why? Because Jesus looked at him and loved him. As he looks at you today, and he loves you. And once you experience the love of Jesus, there's no other love like it. Everything else is vinegar. This is sweet wine. Oh, yes. Did he come back? Oh, the Bible doesn't tell us. But I can tell you, I think he came back. Because once you experience the love of Jesus, your heart yearns for more of it. We'll find out when we go to heaven if he came back. Let's continue. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many, many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Let me just tell you this. Is that just the way it is? But listen, they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible, even the rich can get to heaven." But what do we do with our money? I see, this is the thing. What do we do with our money? Do we tithe our money? Do we give our money away? You know, it's not all for you. It's not all for you. God wants us to be sharers of the gifts that He's given us. If you have money today, God has blessed you. You said, "I worked for it." Yeah, God opened the door so you could work for it. I tell you, God said, nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible, even for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." We left everything and followed you. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers." He doesn't say fathers, because the Father is one in heaven, "and children, and fields with persecutions." Persecutions are part of the gospel. They will persecute us. Let me ask you this. What was St. Paul's method of getting the Jews to believe in Jesus? His method, it tells us in Romans, was he wanted to make the Jewish people jealous that he preached the gospel and he healed the sick and did great miracles. He wanted to make the Jewish people jealous so that they would receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. I want to ask you, do people get jealous of what you have in Christ? Do people get jealous of what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He dwells within your heart? Are they jealous? Do they want what you have? I remember my aunt saying to me, "I want what you have." We prayed for her that night and she got it. She got what we had. She got Jesus. Oh yes. But are you so filled with God that people want what you have? I tell you, that's what it's all about. They will get jealous. There's a divine jealousy that people will say, "I want what you have. You're special. You do something that other people don't do. Why are you the way you are?" Then you can witness. It's all because of Jesus. You know, the wisdom of God is Jesus crucified, Jesus raised from the dead. The wisdom of God is what we seek, because wisdom is the great gift of God to us, and that wisdom was shown to us on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? I have that wisdom inside me because He has died for me and been raised from the dead. What about you? What about you? And in age to come, eternal life. So you're going to get more houses, more brothers, more sisters, more mothers, more children, more fields, with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. For many who are first will be last, the Jews, and the last will be first, the Gentiles. I tell you, we are the Gentiles, and Jesus gave us the grace to give our lives to Him. Jesus gave us the grace to give our lives to Him. Chapter 3 of Galatians. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you? It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly exhibited as crucified." In other words, you saw the crucified Jesus. How? They weren't in Jerusalem. How did they see the crucified Jesus? Through the preaching of St. Paul. The only one thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by doing works of the law or by believing what you heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you so foolish, having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh, that they would want to be circumcised in order to become Christian? No, St. Paul says, faith. It's because of your faith and because of your baptism. He says that also in Romans 6. Did you experience so much for nothing? What do they mean? They had an encounter with Jesus. Did you experience so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, well, when does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you? The miracles that were worked among the Galatian community. How were these miracles worked? Through faith in Jesus Christ, not through works of the law. So there were miracles among you by your doing the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? By believing what you heard. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. Believe what? Believed in Jesus. Are the descendants of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. Believed in who? Believed in the Messiah. Believed in Jesus. So we are blessed with those who believe, as Abraham believed God, and God counted it as righteous. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all things written in the book of the law. Who can observe and do all the things written in the book of the law? Nobody. Nobody. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law or by circumcision. For one who is righteous will live by faith. Are you living by faith today? Are you living by faith today? Somebody called me today and with a serious problem, and I said, you've got to put it in the hands of Jesus. You've got to live by faith. But the law does not rest on faith. On the contrary, whatever the works of the law, will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why the curse? Because we cannot follow all the precepts of the law. So the law became a curse. Jesus Christ on the cross redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I tell you, that's why St. Paul went after the Messiah and all the people that belonged to Jesus, and he put them in jail and or he killed them. Why? Because the Christians were saying, the Lord Jesus Christ died on a tree and was raised from the dead, and he is the Messiah. Paul said, how can he be the Messiah? Cursed is the man who dies on a tree. But he became a curse in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He became a curse, Jesus, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. Do you know that today? Do you know that today, that you are the righteousness of God if you live by faith? Do you know that today? Brothers and sisters, I give an example from daily life. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one adds to it or annuls it. Now, the problems were made, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say to his offsprings as of many, but it says, and to your offspring, that is, to one person, who is Jesus Christ. My point is this: the law which came 430 years later does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance comes through the law, it is no longer comes through the promise, but God granted it to Abraham through the promise, yes, through the promise that you will have a child and he's going to be Isaac. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring would come, that's Jesus, to whom the promise had been made, and it was ordained through angels by a mediator. The law was ordained through angels by a mediator. Now, a mediator involves more than one party, but God is one. Is the law then opposed to what promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could make alive, then righteousness would indeed come through the law. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Are you a believer today? Have you had an encounter with Jesus? Do you know that he is the Lord? Do you know that he is God Almighty? Do you know that he looks at you as he did to the rich young man with love today and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love and you are mine? Do you know that? Do you know that the law is good, but the law can't save us? If the law could save us, then Jesus died in vain. Our salvation comes from Jesus, who became a curse on the cross so that we might be the righteousness of God. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? Do you know that today? I'm talking about know in your heart. I'm continuing. For if the inheritance comes from the law, it no longer comes from the promise, but God granted it to Abraham through the promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring, Christ, would come to whom the promise had been made. And it was ordained through angels by a mediator. Now, a mediator involves more than one party, but God is one. Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could make alive, then make us righteous, would indeed come through the law, but it can't. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith in Jesus might be given to those who believe. We are saved by grace through faith, and not of works, lest anyone boast. We're not saved by the law. Oh, these Judaizers came in to the Galatian community and said, unless you're circumcised, you cannot become a real Christian. Oh no, Paul says, no. Wait till you see what he really says, because it goes beyond words. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was a disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. But now, faith has come. We are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, the law. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourselves
with Christ, the baptism in faith. It's not only faith, it's faith and baptism. I'm telling you, people say, you know, baptism is just a identification with Jesus. No, baptism does something. Read the 6th chapter of Romans and say, we have died with Christ in baptism. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the promise. Abraham believed God, and God counted it as righteous. I tell you that there are people who say they are Christians, but they have never given their life to Jesus. They have never asked him to forgive their sins. We have a sacrament called the Sacrament of Reconciliation, where we go and confess our sins, and we believe that we are saved by the grace of the living God. Let me ask you this question. Are you like the rich young man? Do you have many possessions? Be generous. Be generous. Be generous. Give to the poor. Do it. Do it. Every Saturday we go to feed the homeless. We don't have much money at Holy Rosary, and the money that we had is all going down. But still, we go with generosity to feed the homeless. Does that save us? No. What saves us? Faith in Jesus Christ. Grace of leading to faith, which is going to lead us to love. Do you know that today? That it's all about grace. Grace which leads to faith. And faith that leads to doing those things that God calls us to do. That rich young man, I'm very interested if he came back. Again, if Jesus looks at you and loves you, you're going to want more. Because no one can love you like Jesus. Because no one like Jesus knows how. That's Sadie, 85-year-old woman who had great faith and who had great, not only knowledge, but wisdom. She had wisdom. Are you wise today? You could only have had 8 grades of school, but you're wise. You're wise today. Are you wise today? That Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead, that we no longer need to follow the law to make us righteous. We are righteous by the promise of God. As Abraham believed the promise, so we believe the promise, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Wow. Friday, October 26th from 7 to 8:30. Saturday, October 27th from 9 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon. And Sunday, the 28th from 2 to 3. This is the baptism of the Spirit being prayed for. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.